Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law.
See terms and conditions. 18 plus. You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit PleasurePodcasts.com.
If you have burning questions about sex and relationships, you want to check out the Horny Housewife Podcast. Your host, Jordan, takes a raw, unfiltered, and salacious look at all things sex. Nothing is off limits. Let me have her tell you what it's all about.
The Horny Housewife Podcast, the co-ed locker room where I, Jordan, your host, discuss the realities of sex and marriage, the evolution of sex and long-term relationships, dating your spouse, and inspiring creativity in the bedroom, spicing it up, mixing it up, whatever you want to call it. It's time to get intentional about the pleasure you desire to experience. Every week, expect to talk a little shit, learn some new things, and I'm answering your relatable and oh-so-interesting listener questions. Tune in every Monday for a new episode of the Horny Housewife Podcast.
Hi, I'm Holly Randall, and welcome to my podcast, Holly Randall Unfiltered. This is a show about sex, the adult industry, and the people in it. I'm a 21-year veteran of this fascinating little industry, and as the eldest child of the trailblazing erotic photographer Suze Randall, you could say I grew up in it. So forget everything you think you know about porn, because this show is going to change your mind. My guests are some of the biggest names in the industry, and we unabashedly reveal the real behind-the-scenes stories. The funny, the inspiring, the tragic, and the bizarre. Everyone has an opinion about sex work, but few people actually listen to the sex workers. So sit back and prepare yourself for a podcast which is honest, raw, and unfiltered. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Holly Randall Unfiltered. Very excited to be doing my second interview in my brand new studio, which I am still working on, but just so excited to be here. And I'm so excited to have this gorgeous creature here who literally looks like she matches the set. And look, we sort of match a little bit. Like it's kind of, I'm wearing like the conservative mom version of her sexy outfit. Yeah. But yeah, let me introduce to you guys Callie Roses.
Hello.
Hello.
So happy to be here.
I'm so happy you're here too. Again, sorry for pushing your time back all the time.
No, no worries.
But technical difficulties, and I didn't want to like force you to wait around for us to start because it's been a day. And I was actually complaining earlier about I got stuff on it already. So I made this horrific mistake this morning, you guys, of putting on these fake nails because my nails look so fucking ratchet right now. So I'm like, I'll do press-on nails, but they're like this. They're like two different nail sizes. Oh. See how this side is longer than this side? Like, I didn't realize.
Now that you pointed out.
When I was putting it on, yeah. Like, there's two sets. There's like a longer one, or I don't know, maybe I put the thumb one on like all of.
On the wrong finger, yeah.
So I've just been cursing these all day, and I was noticing your beautiful nails.
Thank you.
And you have long nails. Like, do you normally have your nails like that?
I do.
And you are able to function?
Yep. Able to wipe my butt and everything.
Yeah, I guess you just, it's like you get used to it. You don't, like, struggle with buttons?
So the only thing I really do struggle with, which is super frustrating, is when you put, so say you're, like, pay for parking and you're getting out and you're trying to pay for it and you put it in the little slot, your card.
Yes.
It's hard to get my fingers all the way in to pull it all the way out. So sometimes I have to go like this to like try to get the card
shit.
Out.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So that's so frustrating. That's one thing I haven't been able to adjust to from having.
You're going to need to bring like a pair of tweezers with
you. Yeah, right. Just pick it out. I've literally asked people like on the street, like, hey, can you help me? Like, get my card out.
But that's like also so adorable.
Yeah. I'm like, I can't get my card out.
But it's important, you know, for girls to have nice nails. I mean, you're shooting and, you know, you want it to look good.
Definitely.
I was thinking about the time that there was a period of time that I was shooting girls for a client of mine, and they decided that they didn't want professional models, right? They wanted to bring in like cam girls and girls who'd never been on a professional set.
Totally.
There was this one girl who's super sweet, and to be fair, like she didn't know.
Yeah.
She'd never been on a professional set before. Yeah. She'd only like, you know, webcammed from her bedroom.
Totally.
But her fucking nails were so disgusting to the point where I had to give her a pedicure in the makeup chair. She was in the makeup chair and her feet were so bad. She had like skin peeling off of them. Not just calluses, but like big pieces of skin coming off that I had to trim off with fucking scissors. And she had hair on her feet. Like, not just a little bit of hair. Like, you know, we all have a little bit of hair on our toes. Like,
yeah, totally.
Full hair on her feet.
Furry.
I had to ask her to shave her feet.
Oh, my God.
I've never had to ask someone to shave their feet before. It was,
that's crazy.
It was truly terrible.
That is awful.
And then I had to, like, clean her nails and paint them. And the whole, and I remember just sitting there being like on my fucking knees, like giving this bitch a pedicure, being like, what the fuck?
Yeah, you're like, I should be getting paid extra for this.
Yeah, like, just like, I shouldn't be dealing with this
at all. Yeah, literally.
So my point is I appreciate the professionals who come with their nails done, even though I don't understand how you get anything done with those things.
Yeah, I usually don't have my nails like this fun, but it was Valentine's Day and I was like, why not? So, but I usually have them like more tame. I don't usually do red and stuff, but yeah.
Do you, are they usually like pointy and long?
Or yeah, but I do love my pointy nails. You know, you need weapons when you're out there in those streets. Cat claws.
Do you ever have problems with doing girl and like finger insertion?
Because I get too scared to finger insert. So the ladies, so I have some like lady friends that are like, I like being fingered and it makes me upset that you can't put your fingers in my pussy. I'm like, I can, but I'm just scared I'm gonna like poke you because it's so different putting your fingers into somebody versus like yourself. You can like feel the walls of where you're going kind of more.
Yeah.
But I'm like, God forbid I stab you. Like,
yeah.
I feel so bad.
That would not be a fun.
Yeah.
You ever, so Jules Blue actually was the one who introduced me to like the lesbian manicure.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think it's these two fingers, right? Yeah. That are short.
Yeah.
And the rest of them are long so that
you can get in there.
You can get in there. And you don't, and so I guess if you ever see a girl out there who has these two fingers short and the rest are long,
you know.
It's a secret.
Yes.
So you live in Colorado.
Yes.
And you come out here for shooting.
I do, yeah.
How frequently do you come out?
I travel somewhere for at least a week every month. And then I try to stay home for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. I do go to California the most. So I don't know. It can be anywhere from like – lately I've been here almost every month at the beginning of this year. But I do try to like mix in Florida and Vegas and New York and everything.
Do you – like what's keeping you in Colorado? Do you have any plans to move out to any of the like bigger production cities or do you like where you're at?
I actually like it there. I just bought a house out there. So
which is probably affordable.
Very.
Compared to joining my house here in LA.
Yes, definitely. So got my first home out there. I have like friends and some family out there as well. So that's what kind of like makes me stay. But it is nice because before I'm from California, and then I lived in Florida for a little bit. And I'm like, I love being where everything is, all the shooting and stuff. But it is kind of nice to like detach and be able to kind of like take a break when I go home, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's so quiet, which is nice.
Do you feel like that helps you
like with your mental health in a way, because it really forces that separation from your work and you don't get caught up in all the day-to-day bullshit.
Yeah. And the thing was too, for me, is when I was in Florida or even LA, like I would get calls all the time. Hey, we have this cancellation. Like, I know you can come. And I would never be able, I've never said no. Like I've never been able to, like, of course I'm going to go. I'm not doing anything. Of course I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, but so it's kind of nice. Like, okay, you have to plan it during this time. And then it's kind of like, I'm not coming out there any other time, you know? Mm-hmm. So it is nice. And it's nice too, like you said, for your mental health to kind of like separate the two. And it's just crazy in Colorado, in Florida and California, I was like recognized more. In Colorado, people are so much more shy, kind of. Like I've had a few people like recognize me, but in comparison to the two, it's like definitely I feel so much more like low key over there.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice.
It must be nice to just be able to be like yourself.
Yeah.
Do you find that living in Colorado, and you said you have friends and family out there, how do they feel about you working in the adult industry? Are you able to like be somebody else entirely and not have like your career come up a lot?
Yeah. I feel like definitely with my like family, it was really hard for them to like accept it in the beginning of my career. And then we've gotten to a point to our relationship that like they'd rather have a relationship with me than like not. Yeah. They don't want to hear it. They don't want it in their face. But, you know, they're not going to go out of their way to find it. But so that's really cool. And it is. Yeah, it's pretty nice to like kind of just separate the two.
Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, my husband and I have talked about moving out of state, and I always felt that I couldn't because my job keeps me here. The podcasting, which I really like to do in person, and I was shooting a lot, but it does feel like, I don't know, and mostly my family kept me here.
Yeah.
But it does feel like it would be really nice to live somewhere else.
Yeah.
Just detach.
Yes, you know? Totally. And it's nice too because I feel like in Colorado, like I can look more bummish, like in sweatpants, hair not done, like no makeup, nothing, and like it's like kind of more accepted, whereas like in California or Florida, it's like people recognize me more often, so I want to make sure I look good. You know what I mean? Whereas I'm like, I feel super incognito in Colorado.
Yeah. You know? I always find that when I travel to other states, because I grew up in LA and I've lived here my whole life, that I'm always surrounded by like skinny, beautiful people all the time.
Yeah.
And so in my head, I feel like this is what everybody looks like.
Totally.
And then when I go to other places and people are normal looking, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not that fat. Oh, okay.
Yeah, literally. That's so true. I feel that.
But it just feels like more grounding.
Yeah.
And it's just not so much about appearance.
Yeah.
I mean, I love LA. I've lived here my whole life, like I said, and I grew up here and I have family here. But sometimes...
Yeah. It's hard to turn off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about how you got into the adult industry in the first place.
Yeah. So when I was 18, my best friend, like growing up, introduced me to webcamming. Mm-hmm. And so funny. She was like, why don't we – I was working at Nordstrom's full time and going to college. And then – my best friend was like, why don't we do webcam? We could do girl together. And I did one show together and I literally made like my whole paycheck in a week in that one night. And I was like, this is crazy. but it was so funny because she was like, you need a name, you know. Her name was on her wall because it was like her parents' house. And so it said like, Sweet Dreams Mariah, like on the wall. So she had to use her name.
Oh no, for the from first like party. When you were a kid. Like I have like my daughter's name Violet, like above her crib.
And so
Violet, if you ever start webcamming, we gotta redecorate your room.
So, like, she's like, you got to think of a name. So I was like, okay. And so I was, like, looking all around her room, and I was like, I saw these sandals, like, that are from Amazon, and it said K-A-L-I on it. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool because I'm, like, from California.
Okay.
You know, and a Cali with a K kind of sounds like a real name sort of. And I had my half of my back was already tattooed with roses. So I was like, okay. And then Rose will be my last name. And so I webcammed for like 2.5 years. And then I was recruited basically for it to be Twisty's Treat of the Month in 2016. Mm-hmm. And then I dated a guy in the porn industry, and I was just webcamming, and I was like dabbling kind of into like doing my own content, but this was like before that was like really a big thing. So it was more so like I dated a guy in the porn industry, and he was like, you're going to do these scenes with me. And I was like, okay, you know, and I was just submitting by the man at the time. Mm-hmm. I was just young. And yeah, so I did my first anal scene for free.
Oh, no, no.
Yes. And it was on his website. It got on Pornhub. Like, I didn't even have the content for a really long time. Yeah. And then, but then Pornhub, like, went through that phase where they were paying people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I finally got my money like 4 years later. But
yeah, after like it had already been viewed a million times.
Yeah, and so at that point, the person that recruited me, they were like, you're not going to be able to get it down, so you might as well just like do porn, you know?
Yeah.
So I did.
Yeah.
And I love it.
I mean, yeah. To be fair, that is not untrue, yeah. But that's kind of an interesting way to look at it. I mean, yeah. Were you already thinking that it was a career that you could do?
Yeah, it was hard because I got into webcamming, and with my family, like, they were already, like, they didn't know anything about it. So, like, my family was like, you're going to get AIDS. You're going to die. And I'm like, I'm fucking myself. So, first of all, like, get your facts right.
You're going to get AIDS and die.
Yeah. Literally. And so then – but then, yeah, so then – I just started doing – so it was like a slow, gradual thing. I wasn't trying to like get right into it right away. Honestly, I was making so much money on my own doing webcam that I didn't have to do porn. But also, too, when I was doing webcam, like since everyone saw that anal video, they would come into my room and like, bring a guy, do anal, like, you know. And it was
once
like –
once you go anal, you can never go back. It's just like it's always just pushing the envelope.
Yeah. Yes, literally. So –
so do you do webcamming now?
I don't anymore, no.
Okay. And what you're doing, you're still shooting for brands?
Yes.
I'm assuming you probably have an OnlyFans.
Yes, definitely.
And that's probably where if you're like most girls, it's probably where you're making majority of your money.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you miss the webcamming at all, or was it really draining? Because I know that sometimes girls will be on for like 8 hours a day.
I know. There was times where I was on for like 12. Like, what? And I mean, I would take like breaks, but – I worked for this company that they did live Jasmine, and it was like a house, but there was two guys running it. Really wasn't a good situation.
Oh,
I
no.
Found it on Craigslist.
Oh, no. You were in a cam girl's house from Craigslist?
Yeah.
No. This is like the beginning of like a disaster.
A disaster. And like they would give me like Adderall to stay up. And then, like, I couldn't even take a break to eat. So I'd be eating nachos, like, in, you know, when you're waiting to go to private. Uh-huh. Like, that, I don't know, like, that open, free, like, whatever. Yeah. So I'd be, like, twerking and eating nachos. Like, just zoomed into my ass. I'm like, I gotta eat, all right?
Spicy. Literally. Oh, no. That's funny, but also not funny at all. Yeah, that's really – did you have a hard time getting out of that, or did they just
– yeah, they try to scare me too, because it was just such a bad situation. There was like a – it was really a couple and abuse. There was like – it was bad. Like, it was really bad. And they wanted me to move with them to Florida, but I was like, I don't know anyone in Florida, and I don't want to get kicked out on my ass in Florida. Like, I'd rather get kicked out where I, like, know people in California versus, like, a whole new state. And they, like, got all mad about that. So I eventually got kicked out. Because actually, too, on Live Jasmine, you know, they have all these rules. Like, you can't be underage. You can't pretend, like, role play underage.
Right.
You can't do incest or anything. Mm-hmm. And I went to a private show, and some guy was like, yeah, you're 15 and my sister, right? And I was like, yeah. Taken down.
Oh, wow.
So then they kicked me out of the house. They're like, get out of the house and stuff. So, and then I went back to Corona, because I was actually in Sherman Oaks that I ended up doing all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back to Corona and started doing webcam like on my own with my best friend that I started with.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that company, those people still around?
No, thank God.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard a lot of stories like that from girls who've gotten into that situation.
Awful,
but I think a lot of those are those are kind dying of gone out. Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially yeah. because, you know, platforms like OnlyFans just give girls yes. so much it's personal freedom.
So awesome.
It's crazy.
Love that for us.
Wow. Yeah. I am so sorry to hear about that. So you were started off as Kelly Rose.
Yes.
But now you're Kelly Roses.
Yeah.
How did the last name change?
Yeah, so I went to go get my name trademarked because I got my name tattooed on my leg. So I was like, might as well just seal the deal that this is my name, you know?
Yeah, I mean, get it on paper too. Why not?
Yeah. So when I went to go and do that with my lawyer, he was like, there is a Christian country singer named Kelly Rose. And if that's her real name, like, she can sue you. So I ended up, I was like, fuck. And then I was like, okay, Kelly Roses. So I'm like, just slap an S. And it worked out because I had this tattooed on me.
I was just going to say, like, you can't yeah. go back and change that.
I lucked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I was able just to slap an S because that would have sucked.
That's funny. That's yeah. not like, I don't know if you know this. I read this randomly, but you know The Weeknd, obviously.
Yeah.
So when he started, there was another band or something called The Weeknd.
Oh.
And they were trademarked. So he actually had to take, like, that's like why he took like yeah. the E out of Weeknd.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So that he could use that. And then obviously he blew up and whoever the other people were did not so much.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you were lucky that you didn't.
Yeah. I just go to my tattoo artist. I'm like, just slap an S. It'll be fine.
So why do roses have such a significance for you?
Yeah. So my sister passed away when I was about to be 6. She was 3. And she had cerebral palsy. She wasn't supposed to live as long as she did, but she did.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. I've had a lot of people pass away in my life, unfortunately. So I feel like roses kind of always followed me. So I felt like, I don't know, it was like symbolic to kind of like represent the loved ones that had passed away.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
God, I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah. My dad passed away. Actually, yesterday it was a month. Mm-hmm. And, it's been I've never been through like the grieving process before. Oh my gosh, and it's something else, man.
Yeah.
It is really, I mean, I don't know if you dealt, it sounds like you've had a lot of experience in this area.
Yeah.
But it's like weird because I allowed myself a lot of like emotional, like grieving. Like I've allowed myself to feel the feelings.
That's
I've
good.
Like
yeah.
sobbed myself into like a puddle of tears, like yeah. on a daily basis, like yeah. in my bathroom. 'Cause my dad and I were really close.
Yeah.
And now like, and it feels weird because it's only been a month, right?
Yeah.
But I already feel like I'm coming. I mean, that's why I'm back to work and doing interviews. Like, yeah. I feel like I'm coming out of it and I'm like, you know, doing okay. I mean, I, you know,
as
had
okay
a breakdown
possible.
Again yeah. last night. But, you know, overall, yeah. like, and I feel guilty about that.
No.
Did you ever feel that? Like, I almost yeah. feel like I should be, like, I'm honoring his memory by being, like, totally fucking miserable
no,
all the time.
No,
right?
But I also always believe that the person that passed wouldn't want you to be like that. And they wouldn't want you to like remember them and it always be such a sad thing. Like I would like to think that they would feel that, you know, when you think about them, you think of like the good stuff eventually. You're able to just remember that and it's like a happy memory and not just like super, you know.
No,
sad.
Totally. Yeah. I feel that. And I know that he would be like that. And I would feel the same. Like, I wouldn't want people to, like, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Be so sad about it. But it is, like, a strange thing.
Is.
And,
it's
you know, the adult industry has honestly been so awesome. So many people have reached out to me and, like,
that's
been,
good.
You know, who've also lost people close to them, parents and stuff, and have just, you know, just been really great. And, you know, everyone said, like, grieving is different for everybody.
That's so true. I totally agree with that.
Yeah, so
definitely.
I guess it's like a process, right? I mean, if we're lucky enough to have a close relationship with our parents, it's something that we all go through, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is like such the bummer.
It's such a bummer. Yeah. Death is really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this sounds like a great time to take a commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about dicks because nothing cheers me up faster than talking about dicks. No, seriously,
definitely.
That we are going to talk about
Yes.
So hang tight, guys. We'll be right back.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We all know Adam and Eve is the one-stop shop for everything sexy. And now, with my code HOLLY, you can get any one item for 50% off, plus 10 free gifts. And you'll even get free shipping. So spice up your sex life at adamandeve.com, but only if you use code HOLLY.
All right, everyone, we're back. I promised you we were going to talk about dicks. We are going to talk about dicks.
Yes.
one question that I get a lot, I'm sure you've seen this show up in your DMs as well, is penis size important to you? Is it important to women in general? Is it important to you?
So I feel like before I got into the industry, I was a size queen. Like, I was like, oh my God, bigger is better. And then I got to porn and I was like, okay, there's too big and that's it. You know, so I feel like the older I've gotten, the more I've come to appreciate just a average dick.
The boyfriend penis?
Yes. Yeah. Can go in all the holes, you know, and it doesn't hurt. It is perfect. I love that. I'm here for it.
That is such a great answer. And it's like, you know, that's perfect too because – as we know, you know, there's a lot of men that out there that are insecure about their penis size. They watch porn. And unfortunately, a lot of people get their sex education from porn, which is not what should happen. No. That's a whole other topic. But they'll see a video with dread.
Yes.
And they'll be like, oh, my penis should look like that. Like, look how happy she is. And I will never be able to make a woman feel that way. But I think what they don't realize is that like any other form of entertainment, it's acting. Theatrics, it's acting. Not to say that like people don't have authentic orgasms or anything like that, because that absolutely happens and that people don't enjoy each other. Yes. But we are in the business of entertainment.
Yeah.
So those ungodly huge penises are literally like why these guys are in this industry. Like, not everybody can play in the NBA, you know?
Exactly.
And like make fucking slam dunks. But that doesn't mean like you're any, you can't like play basketball with your friends and like have a great time.
Totally.
So I just think that what you said is so great because it's like, when you have experience with those huge dicks all the time, it's a little much.
Yeah. And sometimes, like, it can hurt. Like, after you're like, my stomach hurts. Yeah. Something got rearranged while we were doing that.
So what, you know? What, do you have, like, a length that you think is, like, a good size?
I mean, 6 to 7 inches. Like, even I would even say 5.5.
5.5 is apparently the average size of a man's penis.
Yeah. I feel like that's perfect.
What would you do if you were on a date with a man who had a micro penis? How would you, like, I asked myself this question. I mean, I'm married, so I don't need to worry about it anymore, but.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do in that situation?
I don't know. Just try to make it work, I guess.
Yeah. I could assume he's really good at oral.
Yes. Yeah, that's so true. He can make it up for it in other ways.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know why. I think about this clearly way too often, but just like what a horrible situation to be in. And 100% not the guy's fault. And unfair to be born with physical issues such as that. And I always wonder, like, how do they surpass that first date? I'd almost like to, you know, I'm going to put this out there. If there is a man out there with a micropenis, I want interview you. Not in like a shameful way, but like I kind of want to know how you navigate like
life
like dating because that's rough.
Yeah. I am, you know how I guess there's a doctor in Miami that can like enlarge your dick? I wonder if that's a thing. Like, can you do that for a micropenis?
I don't know. Maybe. Either. Okay, I'm going to put this out
there.
Doctors that enlarge penises, I want to interview you. I know that you can get like a little bit of a dick enlargement. I do know that guys,
girth,
that guys get penis pumps put in. I think it makes their dicks automatically bigger because of the way that the pump works and fills it with more blood, just kind of stretches it out more.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah.
I'm not sure. There's all kinds of incredible surgeries yes. out there for people. Like, so I learned from Lucy Hart, actually, who mm-hmm. is a trans woman,
yeah.
That you can get butthole surgery to make it easier for you to have anal. And apparently this is like well known in the gay community. There's a doctor, I think he's in New York. You guys can go back and watch my interview with Lucy Hart and she'll talk about it. But there's a doctor who specializes in like reshaping your butthole, your anal cavity actually. I think you can also like do your butthole in a cosmetic way.
Yeah.
And make it like more comfortable to take big dick.
Oh my gosh.
Because I think everybody's anal cavity is different.
So yeah, right.
Straight back. Other people's like might go down at an angle. So like if the penis comes in and like
yeah,
hits the wall, stuff, yeah. you know what I mean? Because it doesn't totally. Bend. It's uncomfortable. But if you like straighten out that anal cavity, maybe you Perfect. Can win like that best anal scene award that you've been coveting.
Yes. I love that. I might have to check that out.
It's pretty remarkable. Yeah. I was just
that
like,
is wow, that's
science.
Awesome. Yeah.
It's fucking science, man. It's incredible.
That's so cool.
So what kind of scenes do you like to shoot the most?
I love doing probably I love threesomes, like a good threesome with three people who really want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Girl, like boy, girl, girl, or boy, boy, girl, or whatever.
Either. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it just like just more energy in the room?
Yeah. There's just more energy, more to do. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
Have you ever been in a threesome where you felt one person like got left out a little bit?
Yes. I've been in some like bigger, like I've done I guess it was a five-some or something, and it was for a shoot, and I could tell like these two girls did not like girls, like and that was rough because I felt like I was kind of like overcompensating for everything, kind of, you know. But and that was like when I was a contract girl for a little bit, so I was like really trying to overcompensate. Yeah. Felt like that was my job, but
I will say that like some of my listeners are surprised to hear that such things exist. Yeah. But girls who actually aren't into girls, and even sometimes you only do girl,
yeah,
it's not that uncommon.
Yeah,
what do you do in those situations? Overcompensate.
Yeah. I'm like, I guess I'm the one just licking everybody's pussy, but you can just sit back and wait for the dick, all right? Spread those legs, though.
So, like, if you work with a girl like that, do you – I mean, there's this one girl in particular who is rumored to, and I – it's hard for me to see because I may not have the right angle, but if she thinks the camera can't see, she'll literally lick the side of your leg. Like, she won't actually eat you out. She'll just, like, lick the side of your leg because she's like, oh, I don't actually have to do this because the camera can't tell.
Yeah.
You've never experienced anything like that? Not that bad?
No. I have, like, there's some girls who, like, sometimes there's no camera on them and they'll just stop, you know? And I kind of get it. Like, okay, you're maybe tired or something.
Yeah.
But it is kind of, like, a little disappointing.
The worst, I once was shooting – so, I don't know – this isn't as common now anymore because, like, those big features that are coming out on DVD aren't as frequently made.
Yeah.
But we would have to shoot softcore.
Okay.
Have you ever shot a scene where you have to shoot softcore?
Yeah.
So I've done that. I used to do quite a few for Wicked. So we'd shoot the hardcore scene, and then we shoot the softcore scene.
Yeah.
And the girl literally told the other girl during the softcore scene, she's like, look, she's like, this is softcore, so you don't actually have to lick my pussy, so can you just not? And I was just like... And the girl was like, okay. I'll just do this.
Yeah. Because that's the thing, too, is like, you don't want to feel like rapey.
I know.
You know? And it gets to a point where it's like, if you're not into it, like, let me know because I don't want to, like, overstep boundaries or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of uncomfy to be in that position.
Yeah. How do you, question about that, since the boundary checklist thing is something that's kind of new.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that you've worked on sets that have those now, right? How do you feel about those? Do those make you feel more comfortable on set?
I do. I actually love that. I think it's a really good thing to, like, be able to to everybody openly, like, talk about what they do and don't like, mm-hmm. especially the don'ts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, please don't do this, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really nice.
Yeah, because I think that a lot of times before, people would just assume that, like, they could read you.
Yeah, or anything goes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like,
or you might feel weird speaking up and being like, hey, by the way, I don't like this. And then, like, you're the person who's like, eh, I don't like this, as opposed to it being an open conversation where everyone gets to say their do's and their don'ts.
Totally.
Yeah, that's been, like, a big change in the adult industry that I've really liked.
I love that, yeah.
So let's talk about sobriety, one of my favorite topics.
Yes.
So tell me about your sobriety journey and what is working for you today.
Yes. So in 2020, I went to rehab for the third time. I think for me, sobriety has been really hard. And the reason why I've gone so many times too was because just a lot of like childhood trauma and deaths and things that I wasn't coping with, and just I was using drugs to like numb it and everything. So by the third time, I really, really wanted something to change, and I knew something had to change. And thank God I did go to rehab that time, because with the pandemic and like being alone and doing all the things I was doing, probably wouldn't be here today.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was really important for me to go this last time. And I think what really helped me like navigate sobriety too was moving. And I know they say like, you know, you can change people, places and things, but it's really like you know.
Yeah. You do what they call it, geographic.
Yes. Yeah. But I really do feel like in some ways it did help me, because I was forced to make new friends, or I was just forced to sit alone, mm-hmm. which is what I needed to do, really, was just sit alone with myself, because I had been like self-medicating, and I started off drinking really young. I had alcohol poisoning at 13. Oh, I went to rehab at 15 for doing drugs, because I was like selling drugs in high school, and I was rolling on ecstasy every day. Wow. Yeah, like I was just doing crazy things super young, and like my family couldn't figure out why, like, mm-hmm. you know, and I couldn't either until later this last time. It was like, because I tried to go to rehab again when I was 21, but I felt like 21, like, so hard, you know?
At the age you start drinking.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm like,
stop then.
I'm not done yet. Yeah. So I had to run around for 3 more years. And then finally I was like, okay, I think we're good. You know, yeah. I've run around for like, you know, 10 plus years doing crazy stuff. Like, yeah. I think it's time to, you know, change some things. But
yeah. Do you feel that it might be a challenge for you to stay sober being so young? Because getting young, I mean, you're 24 now?
I'm 27.
27 now.
Yeah.
That's actually funny. I got sober the first time when I was 20. Was I 27? I might have been 28. It was right before my
30s. Yeah.
But yeah, getting sober that young is...
It's hard.
Do you feel like it might be a challenge for you?
Yes. And like even me trying to just meet people in Colorado, mm-hmm. whether it's dating or friends, like it's been really hard, because what's the first thing anyone says? Let's meet up for drinks.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, yeah, let me drink water like while you drink, and like, you know, try not to be tempted to, you know, drink with you. But it's been definitely hard. But what is nice is I do have a really great support system, and I have friends who I've made friends who like love that I don't drink and love that I don't party, even though they do once in a while. But they're like, I love hanging out with you because I know I don't feel the pressure of doing those things, mm-hmm. you know, because it's so normalized. Like mm-hmm. it's so normal for people to just go drink and party and do whatever.
Yeah. When I was dating, I remember struggling with the same thing, because I was like, okay, do I tell people that I don't drink before we go out for drinks, or do I just say sure and order a club soda?
Yeah.
And then they give you that look, and then you have to like explain, but you also don't want to be that person who's like, oh no, yeah,
like a downer or yeah, whatever. Yeah,
like you don't want to make a big deal about it.
Yes,
so that yeah. was yeah. I feel you on that. I would be,
and I don't mind if people drink in front of right. me. I just don't want them to like pressure me to drink or like, you know. And also, I don't want to like babysit you. You know,
yeah.
You know, hopefully you have, you know, your limits and stuff, and yeah. you know what that is. So I don't have to deal with that. It would yeah. be nice, but yeah,
yeah, no, definitely. That's yeah. I struggled with a lot of that same. Thing.
Yeah.
So you got sober. You said you went to rehab the third time during yeah. 2020. What yeah. what time were we still in lockdown when you came out of it?
Yes. Or? So I went to rehab 2 days before my birthday because mm-hmm. I was not in a good mental space, and I was like, I'm gonna do something wild or I'm gonna go to rehab. So I ended up going to rehab instead. And
what month was this?
January. I want to say it was like January 14th because my birthday is the 16th.
January 14th, 2020?
2020.
So it was literally right before lockdown.
Right before. Like right before. Wow. It was crazy. Yeah.
Because, yeah, getting into a rehab after lockdown is like
impossible.
Near
yeah.
impossible.
Yeah.
That timing is amazing.
It was amazing. Literally. Yeah. It like saved my life. Literally. Yeah. It was crazy. Yeah. So
how long were you in for?
So I did inpatient for 2 months, and then I did outpatient for 4 months, and I moved to Colorado for the outpatient. And then that was probably around like end of February, probably more March was when they, especially end of March, was probably when they were like, hey, we're moving stuff online. So I was doing it all online, but I did have a taste of like NAA meetings, like in person, and loved those, especially in Florida. Loved the LGBTQ ones. Mm-hmm. Those are the best.
There's but, a really fun, if you can yeah. find like the right meetings, yeah. they're really fun. Cause I'm in totally. A 12-step program.
Yeah.
And I struggled with that a lot because at the beginning yeah. I didn't want to go because I thought yeah. it was a cult. It was but. Full of a bunch of fucking weirdos and they yeah. talk about God and I was raised atheist. Like there were so many reasons things. For you not to go because you all are fucking weird.
Yeah.
but once I found like the right meetings yeah. where I felt like, and I met, as they say, you find your tribe, then it yeah. was
makes
was
such
great.
A difference.
But it's yeah. funny now because sometimes I'll still go to meetings that are like terrible.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, if this was my first AA meeting, I'd never come back.
Literally.
Like there's yeah. some, like I still will go to meetings. I'll be like, this is awful. Like yeah. awful. They are not all good.
No.
And especially I feel like in smaller communities it's harder yes. to find good meetings.
Oh my gosh, yes. When I first moved to Colorado and I was trying to do some, they had moved back to some meetings like in person, but it was like I was with the senior citizen group and like we were in a basement of a church somewhere, yep. you know, and oh I was God. Just like, I don't think – I want to meet people like my age yeah. going through this. Yes. You know, as much as I respect – I totally respect their journey. I think it's awesome to hear their stories. I just can't – like, we're not going to meet up to go to a movie later, you yeah. know? Like,
you need to feel – it needs to feel relatable for you.
Yes.
You need to feel like you can see people who are living the sober life that you want to live, and yeah. that feels attainable to you.
Yes.
You know, yeah. that's so important.
So important.
It's funny because I hadn't been to – so I have like a weekly online meeting that's my home group and was yeah. my home group in Santa Monica when I was – before COVID, and, mm-hmm. and we moved online, and I go every Saturday still.
Yeah.
And so I hadn't been to an in-person meeting since mm-hmm. after COVID, and then I had a baby and I just like didn't have time, but I did this online Zoom meeting. So I finally yeah. was like, you know what? I feel like I need to go to an in-person meeting. Like I haven't been yeah. to one in a long time. And I went to this one out in Thousand Oaks because I now like live in Calabasas, and I used to live in the city where like they were everywhere and there yeah. weren't that many. And it was in the basement of a church, and literally it was like 95% men over the age of 65.
Literally.
Which is okay.
That's fine.
Like
yeah.
no problem with yeah. that. However, it was just one of those fucking meetings, and this poor girl was there, like one of the few other women that was there, yeah. and it was her first meeting, and she was there on a DUI, so mm-hmm. she like didn't even know anything about the – she was just there because
yeah,
she got fucking
had to be there.
Nudged yeah. from the judge, as they say, right? Yeah. She may not even have had a drinking problem. Maybe she just had a bad night. Who knows?
Yeah.
So you know how you go around the room and you like identify like, hi, I'm Holly. I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And so it got to her and she was like, hi, I'm whatever her name is. She's like, I don't know. She's like, I'm just here like from the judge. Yeah. Which was like, okay, move on.
Yeah.
I swear to fucking God, the rest of the meeting was people commenting on whether or not she should have identified as an alcoholic.
Oh my God.
This poor girl. She'd never been to a meeting before in her life. Yeah, right? You're not supposed to crosstalk, which means you're not supposed to talk about other people in the meeting unless it's the speaker and you're identifying with their story. When people share, you're not supposed to comment on their shares, single people out. The whole meeting was like, this one guy was like, she, you know, you, and of course he doesn't say her directly. Ugh. He just says, you know, the girl who I didn't identify as an alcoholic should have identified as an alcoholic because, you know, and then like the next person shared was like, well, I don't think that we should pick on the person who didn't identify as an alcoholic. And this girl was like shrinking in the corner. And I was like, oh, she's never coming back. Oh, she's never coming back. It's terrible. So, yes. So if you're struggling and you're interested in checking out Alcoholics Anonymous, just, you know, give it a shot. Go to a couple different meetings that may not be for you.
Yeah.
But don't go to one and think they're all that, like
that's
that.
Right, yeah. Because,
you know, they're different.
Yeah, they are, definitely.
What has been the greatest gift of sobriety for you?
I feel like my relationships with people are a lot better. I feel like my relationship with myself is a lot better. That's definitely been a gift. And also, too, just, like, learning about myself, because I felt like I had self-medicated myself for so long that I just didn't even know who I really was, what do I really like, you know? So it's been really cool, like, in a way, like, dating myself or, like, just really getting to know myself, you know, which I never would have done if I was still in drugs and partying.
It's a crazy thing to have to feel your feelings, huh?
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Like, to sit in that uncomfortableness of, like, feeling the way that you feel. Yeah. That is fucking hard.
Hard. It's so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel... I don't know what the word is. Like, you know what? Jealous that you can't just check out.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. There's so many times where I'll be, like, especially in the beginning of my journey, like, I was just bawling my eyes out. I'm like, this sucks that I have to sit here and feel this. Mm-hmm. But I'm so grateful, you know? And I've think throughout the, you know, few years that I've been doing it, I just feel like it, you know, it really is worth it. And time has shown that it's been worth it, as rough as it's been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're so right, because it's like, I mean, the escape, unfortunately, is only pushing the inevitable down the road, right?
Literally.
You're going to have to deal with those feelings eventually.
Yeah.
So you may as well get through it in that moment.
Yeah.
Because it will pass.
Totally.
But it's hard to, I agree with you. Yeah. Especially at the beginning. It is, it's really rough to get through those moments.
And there was things, like, especially in my younger years or, like, from the past that I was, like, I'd be talking to my therapist or something, and I'm like, why am I so emotional about this? It's because I've never felt the feelings of from all those years. So, like, now I got to feel it, like, 15 years later.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Do you see the world differently now?
I do, in a way, I feel like. Yeah.
How do you think your perception has changed?
I think that I don't know. I think I've just realized that life's, like, worth living and working on, you know, instead of just kind of, I feel like I was so autopilot too, like, you know, it was such a scapegoat. So I think,
you feel like you have more hope now.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah,
definitely.
There's nothing worse than to live without hope. That's the scariest thing.
Yeah. And that was the thing too. I was like, so, it was so horrible, but I was just like totally okay with like ODing and dying. Like,
really?
I was in such a dark place that I'm like, I'm so happy to not feel like that anymore. Like,
I can relate.
Definitely.
There were some times I used to drive up to, because I used to work for my mom before I started off on my own. And, you know, I had to drive up Malibu Canyon to get there. And that was when I was drinking in the morning. And I had, like, little bottles of fucking vodka, like, all over my car, stashed everywhere. And I just remember like thinking, like, what if I just floored it and just like drove off the edge of the canyon?
Oh my gosh.
Like all of this would be over. I wouldn't have to feel this anymore.
I know.
But then, you know, like I couldn't. I always felt like my life was not supposed to be that way. I'm like, this is not the life I was meant to live. Like, no. I know there's something more to this.
Totally.
And as hopeless as everything feels now, like, there was still that glimmer of, like, no, there's something more.
Yeah.
And then also, like, the thought of, like, I could never do that to my family.
Yeah.
You know? That would just be awful.
Definitely.
Like, they would never recover from that.
100%.
It's hard, though. Yeah. I commend you. It's a really tough journey to get through.
Yeah. You too.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Look at us.
Oh, look at us.
Fucking killing it. We're in the same outfit being sober.
Yes.
It's amazing.
I love it.
So you've been in the industry for a few years now.
Yes.
Any advice that you would give to new girls coming in?
Yes, I do actually.
Sorry, my like light bulb go.
I think through my journey of doing this job, I feel like it was really hard for me to not be such a people pleaser and like too overly nice.
Mm.
So I would just say, like, even if you are a really nice person, or, you know, you notice, you identify that you have some people pleasing tendencies, mm-hmm. like, please don't be afraid to speak up.
Yeah.
Please.
Setting boundaries is so hard.
Yes.
I think that's one of the hardest things for people to accomplish. Like, I still struggle with that, and I'm like 44.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But I feel like, too, like, there's so many great people in this industry, but there are some.
It's like in the industry.
Yeah.
There's always bad apples.
Exactly. And if they see you're too nice, people will take advantage of you.
100%.
And it's, you know, you don't want to. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
It's not worth it to be liked for 2 seconds.
Exactly.
And then feel bad about yourself later. Like, yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. That's really good advice.
Yeah.
Is there anything about the adult industry you would like to see change?
I would love for us to have more rights on these social media platforms. I don't want to be discriminated anymore.
Yeah. You lost a couple of Instagram accounts?
Yes. Yeah. So many. And honestly, they're just so inconsistent with the rules.
Yeah.
And I wish we just had more of like some sort of something that could stick up for us, you know, mm-hmm. that has like a weight on things, mm-hmm. you know?
Like an advocacy.
Yes.
Like the FSC, except the FSC is
but more power.
On social media.
Yeah.
Social
media. But more power.
I mean, but that's a thing, right? It's because these social media, unfortunately, they're private companies.
Yeah.
So technically they can
do whatever
they want.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting how, you know, there's a lot of discrimination laws out there, but none of it applies to
sex workers.
No, to the career that you choose. Because I guess this idea is that you've chosen this career, right? So this is a thing that you've chosen. Therefore, we can discriminate against you because you had a choice in that matter, whereas other forms, like, you know, you were born a certain way.
Totally.
But it's still, I think ultimately in that sense, then, you know, we just have to help try to dispel the stigma around sex.
Yeah.
And sex workers.
I agree.
What do you think the biggest misconception about sex workers is?
Well, I think some people are so uneducated that they think a lot of it is like sex trafficking, which is like a little alarming because I'm like, I don't know where you're getting this information from.
Yeah,
please don't spread that. Like,
that's a big hysteria point, and that is so marketable. People love headlines of sex trafficking in it.
Yeah.
And it gets a lot of attention.
It's so bad. I'm like, no.
And it's so misconstrued and so misunderstood. Not to say that it doesn't happen.
But yeah.
But it does not happen on the level that you see in the media. It's pretty, pretty crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
There's actually a really good episode, if you guys are interested in learning more about the hysteria around sex trafficking and how misappropriated it is. It's called You're Wrong About. It's a fucking fantastic podcast. And they do a really, really good in-depth episode around sex trafficking and around like these crazy headlines and how they are like they misconstrue statistics and how stories get twisted and end up being not, you know, what you see in the headline. Because the problem is that you'll see this big headline about like, oh, sex trafficking this, and then it'll be some erroneous story.
Yeah.
However, you never get the headline back, go, sex trafficking story was wrong. Yeah. Sorry about that. This is actually what happened. Yeah. That headline doesn't happen. Just the first one, yeah. And then that's all anybody reads. And then
it's word by mouth. Everybody's saying
if it's disproven, it's like that. That is never, because that doesn't get clicks, you know?
Yeah. And I think, too, like, people don't really understand how professional our industry can be. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so I don't know. I wish there was more representation of that portion of our industry. Yeah.
Well, that's what we're trying to do here on this podcast, is to talk to actual sex workers, people in the industry, who can talk about what it's actually like for them.
Yeah.
Overall, are you happy about being in the industry?
I'm so
grateful. Do you feel like you picked the right career path?
1,000%.
What is your favorite thing about being a porn star?
Oh, there's so many. I love working with new people. I definitely get, like, you know, fun butterflies and, like, I don't know, just that fun new experience of working with somebody new, you know. I do really enjoy acting as well. Mm. So I feel like, you know, that's really fun to have that incorporated sometimes, like, with certain companies and things. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think it's just opened a lot of doors for me too, like opportunities. And
you were in a mainstream indie horror film, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I forgot that to mention that.
Yes.
You were the lead role in a Amazon Prime movie, The Spider.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Yes. So, the director has done a few movies for Amazon Prime. And he actually does, like, this site called The Kissing Channel, which is, like, a kissing fetish thing he does. And he found me through camming. And then he hired me for The Kissing Channel. And then he was like, I wrote the script, and I, like, want you to be one of the leads. And I was like, well, I mean, like, I've acted in porn, but I've never, like, had a huge script. And, and luckily, his name's Desmond Heck. He's the greatest. Like, fed me all my lines whenever I needed it. Like, just super easy to work with. So nice, you know. So it was such a great experience for my first time doing something other than, you know, porn.
What's the movie about?
So basically, there's a girl who's, like, I'm, like, her doppelganger almost in a way, or her, like, alter ego that she wants to become forever. And so she wants to be me. And so we have to kill, like, a certain amount of men, because she goes to a psychic and they're like, in order to become this girl, like, you have to kill 5 men. And then I end up being the seductress that kills men. And it was actually really fun.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah, and we worked on it for so long, but it was awesome. I had so much fun doing it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, Kelly, thank you so much for coming on. It's been such a pleasure. Can you tell everybody where they can find you online?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at Callie Roses. You can find me on Instagram at The Real Callie Roses. And
perfect. And of course, you guys can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at Holly Randall. Still on TikTok somehow. Maybe I won't be by the time this episode comes out. I know I always say that, but I'm just, like, waiting to get deleted. But it's Holly Randall Unfiltered. I also have a Facebook that's actually been doing, like, really well. It was weird. I, like, let it slide for a while, and I had reels reposting from Instagram. And then I looked, and I had, like, 10,000 followers, and I was like, whoa. So that's we've awesome. Been working on that channel more, and the page has really picked up. We'll probably be doing some live streams there, so definitely go check that out. It has a really weird fucking URL that is, like, a bunch of numbers and shit, and I don't know how to change it. So just go to my link in bio, which is at my Instagram and on my Twitter, and just click on that, and it'll have the link to Facebook. So thank you guys so much for watching, and I will see you on the next one.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. Your support means the world to me. A great way to show your love is to rate and review my show, and an easy way to do that is to go to ratethispodcast.com/HRU, and you'll be directed to the various podcast apps your device supports, and then led to where you can leave your review. And if you can afford to financially support this podcast, you can do so for as little as $5 a month at patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. This is where you'll get access to the live streams of my interviews, bonus Q&As with my guests, access to my fine art photography and behind the scenes of my shoots, free memberships to my Not Safe for Work website, hollyrandall.com, merchandise such as stickers, mugs, and hoodies, and so much more. You can watch the video versions of these podcasts at my YouTube channel, youtube.com/hollyrandallunfiltered. Join us every Sunday evening for episode premieres where you can chat live with myself and other HRU fans as we watch the newest release together. You can also follow the show on Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. All of my social media links are at hollylinks.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.